Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show. March 21st, Sunday night. Tonight we're going to kick it right off with some herbal stuff, which I think you'll enjoy. And we'll start right about now, as soon as we get Dr. Bell here rounded up a little bit. And the way we're going to go, where are you, Dr. Bell?
Ayurvedic medicine. When you start using Ayurvedic medicine, you start getting into St. John's wort. You start getting into all different kinds, including herbal teas. The thing about people don't understand is with herbs, it's very important to know maintenance herbs, consciousness-raising herbs, stress herbs, and realize that your body is on this cycle of this frequency of the hydrogen atom, and so at a certain time of day, herbs can be poisoned. So you got to know what time of day to take what kinds of herbs. It sounds real complicated, but if you remember back in societies, like where he comes from in India, in old societies where Ayurvedic medicine came from, it was a little less stressful in the old days before we were overpopulated, and people sat down and thought about their feelings and what they put in their body. That's where the roots of Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, came from. Observation through clear eyes over a 24-hour time for a whole year or more. Yeah, the foundation is where it came from. So, luckily, I study with many Tibetan masters, and they've taught me how to work with this. And these devices, like I'll demonstrate here in a few minutes, you'll get to see how some of this stuff works. But understand what we're dealing with when you deal with a hydrogen atom. Now, another thing is to show you where we're at right now. This is real interesting. Most of you probably would imagine the hydrogen atom, right? Consciousness atom. Remember when from school, high school, college, these kind of studies, we used to think that, well, here's the proton, well, that's like the Earth. And the electron, that's like the moon. And it goes around. How many of you have that kind of an education where you thought that the electron goes around a proton in an atom, kind of like just kind of goes around, right? It doesn't do that. Okay? That never has, never will. The latest Nobel Peace Prize, which was given out about 6 or 8 months ago, that type, particular study, I was already doing the same parallel work in this book. And it's in here and explains it in here. And it has to do with what we call orbital patterns. What happens is, in the body, with this proton-electron relationship and this energy transference, we also have a thinking process, which is called thought, the embodiment of thought. And what happens is the electron will not go around. The electron might do this. And I'll switch to a higher, bigger picture. This might be the proton right here. And the electron might start doing this. It's called a bow tie or P orbital, okay, in some people. And not only will it do that, it'll start densifying here and here. And you start looking at how this electron might, and it might do this, a W orbital, and start densifying over here. This is where science is today. It becomes dense. The electron starts whirling around the little side trips and then goes back around the nucleus. Okay? This densification is consciousness coming into that atom, coming into our bodies. And the Nobel Peace Prize was given on the study of these dense things that go on in different environments with human thought. Okay? In science, we were talking about the 7 levels of consciousness. 7 levels of consciousness feeding down into this. In science, we start, in order to feed this and understand that we know that the electron, running it close to the speed of light, produces a mass energy pattern of consciousness into our bodies. But what happens if we start taking a human being and accelerating them towards the speed of light? Or, if in a laboratory, we take electrons and protons in an atomic substance like deuterium and accelerating it towards the speed of light in a nuclear reactor, or a cyclotron, or a bevatron. What happens is, when that particle is caused to collide with another particle, we start releasing other energy, and we start seeing these little glitches as particles called quarks, hadrons, and leptons. We start looking into these particles, and we start looking at them as like an herb. These particles have herbal charm, just like this is where herb comes from. In other words, this behavior in a biological substance, such as St. John's wort, or chamomile, or any herb there is, the behavior of this begins to give what we call flavors. Mood elevation, organ rejuvenation. Science of vitamin and nutrition is to rebuild cells. The science of herbs is to rejuvenate organs. That's what herbs are here for. The way you rejuvenate organs is put the consciousness in that living your negative electrical precursing life of stress and pain on this planet has taken away. You understand? I'm not losing you. And so from a scientific point of view, we don't give these particles, quarks, hadrons, leptons, electrical charge names. We give them characteristics. We call them beauty, truth, justice, charm, up and down and bottom. We give them names because they have actual imprints of the way they behave. So science and herbology, life extension, starting to go deep now. And there are answers to all of this stuff. And then, of course, when we get into this DNA behavioral characteristic, we start going into what are called recessive genes and the actual genes that work through the pineal gland that slow down the aging process of the body. Sumyasi is the name of the lady who, from the Pleiades, gave me my scientific training in receptors and pyramids. Now, before that, I was educated as a theoretical physicist. When I was 17 years old, I had a master's degree. When I was 9, I was working on the Philadelphia experiment. I had a bit of an education to start with. I was born at the University of Michigan. As a matter of fact, my father took the bridge off the Thames and put it over in Lake Havasu. That's my dad did that. He took the bridge out of here. We borrowed your bridge for a while, you know. She's physical. I don't think there's any. There's a book down there called The Promise with a drawing of her. It's a little $7 or 7-pound book downstairs. She's about 5'2", weighs 103 pounds. Very physical, very cute, green eyes, kind of a reddish colored hair. Very interesting. So you start to understand, you know, how this works. But this is something she told me. Let me show you something about this planet. You know what DNA is? Deoxyribonucleic acid, right? Two sugars and two bases, 4 amino acids. This is a story of birth. If we look at DNA, okay, the baby, just before, this is why babies come out when they do at a certain time. There's a timing, there's a clock, the pineal gland. It's the same thing that causes a pigeon to find its way through the skies. When the body reaches 46 base pairs per turn. At 46 base pairs per turn, the body can't reproduce any more cells. 46 base pairs per turn means that there are, in each DNA strand, there are 46 combinations of sugars and phosphates. I may be able to jump through some slides and I'll show you here. Now, this is normally based off of a 3 or 4 day seminar, so we're going to jump around a little bit now, show you some stuff. Down to the DNA section. Here we go. See, there's DNA. Adenine, guanine, cytosine. This reproduces itself 46 times in one series of turns. And in between each turn, at the point of mitosis, this bunches up and forms what's called a chromosome. Chromosomes are not present in the blood or in the body all the time. Chromosomes are only present during cellular reproduction. That's why in criminology, it takes in PCR testing about 6 weeks to get a read on somebody's blood. In RFLP testing, it takes up to 6 months. Because we have to find a time in this decaying specimen of blood from a criminal scene where we can actually get chromosomes to reproduce, and then we can stain them to get the genetic code to make a comparison between the possible offender and what the evidence was at the scene. You get that? Try not to give you some input here. So these chromosomes come and go, but there's 46 of them, there's 46 base pairs per turn. When the fetus is ready to come out of the mother's womb, it's separated by a thing called the placenta, which is like a filter between the mother's immune system and the baby's immune system. So if the mother happened to have a couple of drinks the night before, the baby's not going to come out drunk because the placenta is going to do some filtering in the body. Okay? So, now here's the thing. At the moment that this system is reproducing itself in the body, in the baby's body, it gets to 46, out comes the baby. Okay? An hour before the baby was born, there was something less than 46 base pairs per turn in the DNA. Because when the DNA finally reaches 46, all organs are complete, all organs are functioning as far as they can go in that form, and out it comes. Now consider 46 to be 100%. Okay? As soon as the baby is born, we cut the umbilical cord and the first breath is taken. The base pairs per turn in that child is now 34. That's within seconds. Okay? The baby has lost 25%. If 46 is 100%, the baby has lost 25% of its lifespan at birth. Okay? When you're 18 years old, you have lost 50% of your lifespan because your DNA only reproduces 18 base pairs per turn. When you hit 35 years old, you have approximately 8 to 10 base pairs per turn. And when you hit 50, you've got 6. You're dead, theoretically, when you're 50 years old. I'm not even standing here, okay? Okay, you get that. Now, science has found out, this is what you'll hear in medical science a lot, that gradually things start to fail. One of the first big failures that we really notice as public people, it happens at 18 years old when we can no longer go down to McDonald's, trash out on grease, and have energy all night long. We go down to McDonald's, we get sick the next day and gain 10 pounds. Science has found that because of that recession of genes, we no longer produce what's called DHEA, dehydroepiestrone. Okay? So, anything that has been fed in science labs, DHEA, like animals and that, or older people, live 30% longer because it starts to rejuvenate and cause the body not to get fat again. Looking at that a step deeper, what that means is that heavy, high compound fats can't be, and sugars, which are 12 carbon atoms, can't be broken down into simple carbon atoms. They turn into fat and chemicals on the process of going down, and DHEA is one of the responsible agents that goes away. So that's where science is with biochemistry, starting to understand this unwinding process. So what we try to do with the Pleiadian science is start to re-spiral this DNA procedure. We start to make it happen the other way again. So you begin to understand what this is all about. I'll demonstrate some of this in a minute, but first, are you starting to get a feel now for DNA? And it takes a little time, but at least you can see, and I try to explain it in such a way. This microphone's getting a little loud. I'm going back to the table now. Yeah. A lot of slides, huh? Back to the chart. Now, in the chart, we stopped at enzymes, the hydrogen atom. See how we kind of went off on a tangent there? But at least you can understand the hydrogen atom, pH factor, has a whole lot more in your imaginations to think about now than what you learned in high school physics, pH. You begin to see and get a working understanding to a DNA level what's going on. The enzymes then combine into vitamins. And of all the different vitamins known, because vitamins are the first unit of biochemistry to possess consciousness, there's only 7 basic frequencies of vitamins. And you can characterize them by color. This is just a little bit loud. Did you turn it down?
I thought I needed this down a little bit. Okay. Yeah, I don't know where the clip went, though.
I've got another one here.
Oh, good. They probably get away from you, huh? They got away from me when I was upstairs. Put it right here.
I can put it somewhere around here.
Okay, because I'm going to take this off in a minute.
Okay. I'll turn it down.
Yeah, just turn it down. So you begin to understand. So, for example, vitamin A, okay, beta carotene, that comes from carrots. They're red. Vitamin C is green, okay? B complex is yellow. When I do a lot of formulation with B complex,
It's one of the most important vitamins to put in the body because it helps increase oxygen. B15, for example, brings oxygen to the brain and the heart. It was discovered by a friend of mine, Ernest Krebs Sr. He did tests in Russia, and he found that people had large amounts of B15 in their body couldn't get heart attacks. Okay, B12 through B17 are called nitrilocides. What they do is if you end up taking carcinogenic substances in your body, they zap them out. They'll produce cyanide at the site because the cancerous substances produce cells that don't have rhodanase in them. If they don't have rhodanase in them, the cyanide that's produced by the nitrilocide family zaps those cells out of your system. So there are lots of cures for cancer, lots of them. But society doesn't want you, the medical profession doesn't want you to know that, because that cancer industry is far bigger than the automotive industry. That's big industry, big business. If you go into studies, you'll begin to understand that. So vitamins all have fallen frequency groups. The vitamins then hook up with proteins. The proteins then hook up with peptides, and narrow peptides and polypeptides, and they in turn form hormones in your body, which we've been talking about all along. And hormones are the first unit of biochemistry that possess consciousness. So if you break that chain, which most people do, you're going to have deficiencies somewhere along in there. You're going to have, for example, a good example would be a hormone in the pituitary gland called vasopressin. It's made up of an enzyme known as B3, another one known as B6, a vitamin. Some people call them enzymes. An enzyme is normally something that's not used up during the digestive cycle, and the vitamin is. So what happens is enzymes and vitamins get mixed up and assimilated because some people assimilate certain vitamins and others don't, depending how your system is. That's the borderline between the two. And in science, it's hard to distinguish where enzymes stop and vitamins start. You'll just tell you that now so you understand and don't get confused later on. So if you have B3 and B6 and arginine and lysine in your diet every day, which most people don't, you'll produce a hormone in the pituitary called vasopressin. Vasopressin, when it's secreted up to the receptor sites in the brain, produces a feeling of well-being and the ability to think clearly. Motivational thought, you know. You get that rush at a certain time where you just feel you can conquer the world. That's from vasopressin. In my formulas, I put those nutrients in my formulas, in the ones that I personally sell, because you need to have them. Now, in some countries, obviously, they're illegal. I don't know if we can sell them over here, overseas to you or not. We can't sell them in Germany because I use a lot of things that Germans won't allow. We tried it for a while, and then we got busted so many times, shipments confiscated, that we gave up on those poor people. I became a household name with the German customs, you know. But that's one way of handling it. Now, what takes that hormone away is carbon monoxide, automobile exhaust. If you walk down the street, you know, you get up in the morning and you feel creative, and you go to the store, you walk down the store, you drive down the store, and you come back, and that creativity is sort of like gone, you know, and doesn't come back till the next day. That's because of exposure to carbon monoxide, automobile exhaust. 8 minutes of exposure is 24 hours of symptoms, depending on how much of the exposure. In Los Angeles, where I live, we have a scenario where you drive down the freeway for an hour and a half to get to work, and so you're getting major gas, and we're talking not open traffic, we're talking bumper to bumper, and we're not talking single lane roads, we're talking 8 lanes of traffic, bumper to bumper, going in 2 directions for an hour and a half. Okay, maybe 500,000 cars all at once, and you get to go by every one of them. So you take that and you produce EPC, we talked about that, the electrical precursing factor over a 24-hour period. You take a human being that's in that for 7 or 8 years, and the endocrine system starts producing hormones that, when triggered, produce anger. So as a result, in Los Angeles, when you're driving down the road in your brand new Mercedes-Benz, somebody pulls in front of you, instead of, like, you know, just realizing they're a little out of it, you do like Jack Nicholson does, and you get a golf club out, and you smack the person over the head with it or shoot him. Okay? So you begin to understand the kinds of dangers that happen over a period of time, the destruction of consciousness. Now, some countries, like over here in Switzerland, one company called Sandoz recognized this diapid factor, this hormone factor, and they produced a drug. Instead of using natural amino acids, they produced a drug with synthetics. And these synthetics, you squirt it up your nose and you end up with a drug, diapid. But what happens is, of course, drugs have side effects. If you start putting drugs in your body will no longer produce. It goes into what's called atrophy. And even if you put the good stuff in, it won't work anymore because you've ruined your body on drugs. It's spoiled now. Smoking is a typical habit. Smoking is a lack of nicotinic acid. Nicotinic acid happens to be one of the four key ingredients to make vasopressin for your brain. Okay? So what happens is, when you smoke a cigarette with nicotine in it, nicotine chemically looks like nicotinic acid, except when you take the vitamin nicotinic acid, or known as B3, it takes 2 hours to get it in your system. Take a drag off a cigarette and you got it in there in 2 seconds. So what happens? You got a habit to feel high, to feel normal, to feel complete in your brain. So it's the same thing. So that's what happens over a time when you start realizing what goes on in the system. Second thing that happens, we have a real problem on this planet with called ELF. Ever heard of that? Extremely low frequency. In my book, I documented the hell out of that. From Russian studies, from U.S. studies, from U.K. studies, all over the world. Giving ELF to an animal, triglyceride levels drop. All the things, all the chemicals in the body go askew with ELF. What is ELF? If I look out the window, I see antennas over here getting radiation. I see wires on the street, wires on poles down there. That's ELF. Wire, things up here, 60 hertz, that's ELF. That has an effect on your body. And so understanding ELF, what that does is it changes your body around. And I'll demonstrate what that change is now. Then I'll demonstrate it physically. In your body, we have amino acids. Let's say I just ate a tomato. Now, I don't know how you guys grow tomatoes over here, but in the U.S., if you go in a supermarket, you get a tomato, it's full of arsenic. If you get a strawberry, it's full of bromine. These are what they use to keep the bugs off of it, and you can't get them out. If you spray bromine or arsenic on a plant when it's growing in its infancy, it doesn't go away. It stays in there. So these are amino acids in a tomato. Let's say you got guanine, phenylalanine, and then down in here, let's say we got poisons laced into that tomato. Could be a dairy product laced with synthetic vitamins. It doesn't matter. This comes in your body, and this should be left spin. Your body is always in rotation, spinning to the left. In your body, you have 8 essential amino acids. There's 8 of them. Do you know why they're called essential amino acids? Other than the fact your body can't produce them, you have to take them in externally. What other reason would they be essential? Okay? Meaning your body can't reproduce them, but what else is essential about them? Anybody know? You've heard of them, though, right? 8 essential amino acids? Okay. They're essential because the culmination of them generates a frequency. Each one of these amino acids generates an electrical frequency. Remember I said your body's biochemical, electrical, and precursing? Middle square from the earlier explanation. The summation of the frequency is 3.58 megahertz. Okay, that's the actual frequency of the 8 essential amino acids. And they produce what's called the Doppler effect. Strangely enough, how many of you guys remember the days of a black and white TV set? Okay, and along came color. Color TV versus black and white TV had a thing called a chromina oscillator. The chromina oscillator, the crystal, made a black and white signal go into color and then go onto a special screen which had different colored phosphors in it. Today, in nutrition, we have a new field called chromo, nutritional dynamics. I talk about it in here, where I talked about colors. Science is starting to recognize this chromo dynamic effect on nutritional things going into the body. So here comes this pulse out here, and this is called messenger RNA. We've just eaten this tomato with all of these bad toxins in it. Now what's supposed to happen is when the messenger RNA comes out, this 3.58 megahertz reflects off these are now called antigens, these poisons are called antigens, and supposed to throw them away. And then bring in the phenylalanine and all the different tyrosine and guanine, all the good stuff from the tomatoes. You're supposed to separate part of it, throw it away, and keep part of it. Now, this is protein assimilation, right? at the time when this separation process takes place, this goes from left spin to right spin. So inside the body, the eight essential amino acids are also spinning to the right, and we'll take this nutritional product coming in and also spin it to the right. But what happens with ELF, this is confused, and the whole damn thing is taken in, and so the eight essential amino acids starts building amino building blocks with these antigens or these poisons in there included. Okay? So what? Remember, this is protein accumulation. So you get back up to this chart. At this level right here, these proteins, which have poisons in them, are obviously going to be assimilating into poison hormones. Anger. You know, horrible things. Suicide. Claustrophobic. This is what happens. And you can test your bodies. And I don't recommend you do it, but you can do it. To see if this has happened to you yet, if I go down and get some niacin B3, which we talked about, either nicotinic acid, and take a handful of that on a glass of water and see if you light up bright red or pass out or faint or turn into a burning Christmas tree. Because if you do, that means the niacin is releasing these trapped antigens into your system and you get what's called a histamine reaction. You light up beet red. Okay? So this is what happens. And most people, I doubt if there's a person in here, including me, I could probably take 300 milligrams of niacin and not light up too bad. But I bet a lot of you light up on 50. Now, why would I be able to take more? It's because I developed this precursing device that runs at 3.58 megahertz that allows my body to get rid of some of the toxins in the body. And that's what this thing, the receptor, does. So that's what I'm going to demonstrate. A couple of things now. First of all, I'll take this off. We're going to get the receptor off. We're going to do a couple things. We're going to understand. Remember we said the body is oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon, right? We're talking about the carbon atom now. And that's where the pyramid shape begins to have some merit. If this thing right here, this jar, had grapefruit juice in it, or orange juice, probably more grapefruit juice, it would be very bitter. Why is it bitter? Because it came out of probably acid or alkaline rained on soil. And maybe 500 years ago, it wouldn't have been bitter, but it is now. But if I want to process that pH factor, I'm going to take some of my life force out of my body, my chi force, or whatever you want. Well, chi force is what it is. It's also kundalini force. I'm going to take that out of my body. I'm going to harvest that. I'm going to put it back in there. I'm going to change the taste back to a neutral pH factor taste. This is going to take energy out of me to do that, but at least when I drink it now, I'm not going to get an acid reaction and lower my consciousness, my frequency, while I assimilate it. So the way I do that is I breathe in through the stomach, which you can all do now. Breathe in through your stomach and rub your hands together, okay, like this, and pull your hands apart. And you'll feel the chi force, the giant, like a tremendous tingling in the hand. Feel it? That's your life force, okay? If I were to do that, and this were grapefruit juice in it, it would change it. Even with water, I'm getting rid of a lot of chemical pollution. Or, if I want to use an external source, I can put the cerumen over it like this and get the same result out of it, okay? Either way, it's going to work. Actually, I'm going to use a power dome. It's stronger than this one. That will change the taste.
Why?
Because it balances. It's a life force. It's prana. Chi force is a factor of the life force. Now what I'll do, I'll demonstrate that to you. Rub your hands together, get the energy going. When I come around, hold your hands up, and you'll feel with the pyramid. I'll put the pyramid over it, and you'll feel it change. Okay? Some of you will feel it more than others. Some of you will be blown away by it, and others are insensitive. It depends on how your forces are working in your body. Feel it? Feels it? Good.
Why did you set this pyramid stronger than the other one?
Well, this one has orgone layers now. These pyramids, I've been making these for 20-some years now, and they're different strengths depending on the orgone plating. It's similar to a substrate layering in a transistor. This is extraterrestrial technology. Feel it?
Mm-hmm. I can get Yeah.
You'll get this after the lecture. Why? I'll explain that in a minute. Or I can explain it right now as we're doing this. I'll flip another slide on here while we're doing this. You can look at it. Why do I wear it? Maybe I don't know why I wear it, but I'll end the slide. There it is. Okay. When you breathe in air, the breath, the air, and all the pollutants in it go right into your lungs. Okay? When the air gets in your lungs, what happens is the lungs then transport it through the heart, through the aorta valve of the heart, up through the trachea, into what's called the circle of Willis in the brain. Okay? Now, if you look at the arterial side of the transport system, the size of the arteries going from your lungs up to your brain, you're talking quarter inch. You know what happens if you cut the jugular vein, right? You die. Basically what happens very quickly. Okay? But what happens is when the arteries get into what's called a circle of Willis and distribute the blood through the brain, remember how critical as we talk about oxygen, the arterial size is down to a millionth of an inch. So you go from a quarter of an inch to a millionth of an inch. Well, that's a very small area. So if there's any pollution in your body, it's going to get stuck in your brain. Okay? You can see how that works. And over a period of time, that pollution is going to be very serious. It's going to kill you. It's one of the things that kills people. How many of you remember when you played hopscotch when you were kids? Remember that game? You stood on one foot, you balanced, and you go forward, and you go backwards, and you go sideways, and you touch the ground. A lot of people can't do that anymore. Because the first area of the brain that's affected by this blockage is called the lowest part is the balance network of the brain, down the very lowest part of the brain. And at the bottom of the brain, which is the balance part, starts to go off. Your balance goes off. Later on, it moves into the midbrain. Did you want to try that?
Oh.
Rub your hands together.
Oh,
okay.
I don't know what we're supposed to be doing here.
Just rub your hands together. Feel the energy. Feel that?
Not really. I've been fried off the body yet.
Oh, you've been a little fried, huh? Well, put your hands up. Put your hand up. So you feel it now.
No, yeah, my energy's coming back into my body. I've been right out of my body.
Oh, good. Well, you need to wear a pyramid more often. Yeah. I'll get around. So what happens is, from the bottom of the brain, the cerebellum, where the balance, that spreads to midbrain. As you get older, that pollution spreads. When it gets to your midbrain, it shuts down endocrine function and you start becoming allergic to everything. People notice when they get to be mid-aged, they're allergic to this allergy. They get sick of allergies, which they never had as a kid. That's the blockage. So when you wear this pyramid on your head, it removes that blockage and the allergies go away. Now, how do we discover that? Well, this was real interesting how we discovered this. It's not something... Yeah, they'll stay away. You wear it every day as much as you can, and you wear it in front of as many people as you can. You'd be surprised. I don't like to, I'm not into dropping names. It raises your chi force, your life force of your body. Would you rub your hands together? You got a receptor on. Well, you better start feeling it. You haven't worn the receptor long enough. You don't feel anything here either. Well, you got a lot of blockage. You keep wearing that, and then we'll try again next year. Okay. Not everybody's going to feel this. Don't feel offended. Now, how we discovered this is we were doing muscle testing. I'm not the one to put pyramids on people's head. Another American doctor did years ago. He put. We were doing muscle testing years ago, and we found that the same energies. How many of you are familiar with kinesiology? Yeah, John T. Well, one of his students, Gary Couture, his number one shining student, discovered that when we do muscle testing for vitamin deficiencies, the pyramid would always bring... You feel it? Okay. Better than nothing. Some people get blown away by it. Some are a little insensitive. Don't be offended by it. Just where your body is, you know.
How long is the one wearing?
I've been wearing it since 75. Feel it?
For how long in the day?
Everybody over here got a shot now? Okay.
Any time, period?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you put this one on. I'm needing this one. You can wear that one. Be a little bit slower. Well, he started putting pyramids on people's heads. And so here's my scene, how we discovered what it could really do. From 61 to 67, I worked at NASA. Well, in 65 to 66, up to the time I quit in 67, we worked 12 hours a day, 7 days a week on that second slide that I showed you. I lived on those spaceships. Every one of the Apollos, including 13, I used to sit in it and play with the switches and stuff and get it ready to go. You know, that was my job because I was instrumentation. Well, we had to start working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week for 2 years straight. Now, I don't know, if, you know, maybe that's what they did. The turn of the century in the Industrial Revolution, I guess that was commonplace. But for here and over there. But for me, it wasn't too comfortable. And I'm a triple Leo. I need a lot of sun. My options were I get up at noon and go to work, get off at midnight, you know, or I go to work at midnight and get off at noon. And I got Christmas and Thanksgiving off. So what do? You don't feel your body after that. And that's serious work. So what I started doing, I started drinking lots of coffee, which I hate now, and 2 packs of cigarette a day I'd smoke. 2 packs. And I smoked Lucky Strike and Camel. I didn't want any of these filter cigarettes because I couldn't taste nothing. I was so dead. I lived on. I weighed 150-some pounds. I was half the size I am now. And I was in my 30s, or late 20s, and early 30s. So I smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day up until the time I left NASA. About a week after I left NASA, I got back to the sun, started eating again. I was in a hospital twice, by the way, for food poisoning off the coffee machines in that time. But that was only for a few days. They put me right back to work. I couldn't even poison myself and get away with it, you know. So, bottom line was, I had a lot of, you know, nicotine up in the base of my brain. So then I quit smoking in 67, and then Gary Couture started putting these pyramids on people's head. My part in the development of this originally was just to develop a pyramid that you didn't have to align it to the north. And we did that by gold plating it, because gold has got a pyramid-shaped molecule. So that gave it an alignment, theoretically, any direction you pointed it. So, in 1975, when I started wearing the pyramid, besides the headaches I was getting from it, I wore it for about 2 or 3 weeks, and all of a sudden I start going to the bathroom, and I haven't had a cigarette since 67. And when I urinate in a toilet, it would be brown, and it smelled just like an ashtray. And you think about it, all that smoke from 2 packs a day, you know, and we're talking, that's a lot of cigarettes, you know, for 2 years. For a whole year, that toilet, every time I used it, once this process of elimination started, that toilet smelled like an ashtray. But after that process of doing that, the cleansing went by and the urine was clear again, I could think again. I had a brain that remembered stuff. You know, I could had a retention. You know, so that's how we discovered it. I mean, we've gone a long ways from that. In 1978, I got a call. We started putting them in school systems. You know, when I talk about schoolyard shootings, and I talk about the solutions to us, not because I haven't been involved with some of this stuff, personally. I worked in school systems back in the 70s, long before the first shot was fired in a schoolyard. I worked in school systems, Orchid Union School System in San Luis Obispo with President Reagan's kids among some of them, a lot, and down in L.A., Wilton School System, which is where they have shootings today, with kids that were on drugs like Ritalin, teen suicides. I put these receptors on kids over there, I don't have it on now, and got rid of suicidal problems. They wear it underneath their shirt to eliminate that. So I've put my time in school systems, believe me, and I still do. I got a call in 1976, the first phone call I got, from Orchid Union School, and the guy calls up. His name was Sky Lewis. He was a teacher. He called me at 2 o'clock in the morning. I thought it was a little unusual. He says, I got a 9-year-old here. We're sending you down a testimonial. And this testimonial is from a kid that had grand mal seizures, epilepsy, okay? And he'd been wearing one of these pyramids for over a month, and all of a sudden, after wearing this pyramid for a month and no other changes in his routine, he didn't have grand mal seizures anymore. That's what motivated me. That's why I still wear it. Maybe it's a dunce cap, but it worked. And I still have that testimonial in my earlier book, which is called Death of Ignorance, which was the one before this one here. And that was one of them. You know, and I had a lot of testimonies like that. I got a call from a doctor over in New York City who worked for the government, the VA Society, who had been paralyzed from the waist down, similar to our friend that fell off a horse, the actor. Okay, and he was recovering from spinal surgery and getting feeling back in his legs and feet and starting to walk again because he'd been wearing the pyramid. So we began to see what these things do. Now, at this point, the American FDA backs me up on this. is that I always tell people, with ionization, with vitamins, with pyramids, with receptors, they're not doing a damn thing to heal you. You've got to heal yourself. What they are doing is they're acting as tools. You know, if you're repairing your car, you need a wrench to get the spark plugs out. It's the same thing in your body. If you've been wrenched by technological, you know, atrocities, what you're on this planet, this stuff is a healing aid, and your body will then, in the presence of its field, start to heal itself. Okay? And if you ever come to any lecture in this hall or any one of these shows, and some guy stands up here, a girl, and tells you their product will heal you, head for the back door. Because you have to heal yourself. That's one thing I got to make very clear. Okay? But these things have a very, very dynamic effect. Okay, now I want you to come up here for a second now. Put that pyramid down and take your receptor off. We're going to test you now. I'm going to show you what pyramids do. Pyramids produce what's called a scalar wave field. A scalar wave field is a vacillation between your female energy and your male energy. You have a vacillation that occurs. If this goes askew, it will cause problems in your body. And unfortunately, the female energy on this planet has been askew for a long time. In Persia right now, in Persian women, there's a serious askew the way the females are treated over there. If you don't believe me, check it out. The women are just starting to get their rights back. But we have a thing called karma. Karma is, if I have a personality of one individual on this planet, nobody's around, then there's no personality. But if I put a person like a female or a male here, and she has a personality and I have a personality, and we come within each other, our aura fields touch, we have an interaction. That's karma. And if I bring one other person up here, we have a third field, a tertiary field, and we have what's called dharma, or racial karma, because now we can procreate the entire race. Okay? So this is the field energy that's gone wrong. And I'll demonstrate that. I'll put your arm straight out. Make a fist. Now when I push down, resist. Okay, feel your strength? Okay. Now, when I push down again, resist. Resist. There you go. Feel it? Now watch when I put the pyramid like this. Put your arm back up. Resist. Try that again. Look at it like that. Now what's that? That's the female energy, right? Now just stay there, we're going to get charged up. That's how that works. It's called a scalar wave. The difference between the pyramid being upside down, the pyramid being right side up, produces a field. And if you look on the receptor, for example, it has little pyramids on it. Some are right side up and right, some are upside down. So it's producing that field that's going this way and that field that's going that way, and they come together right on the bridge. Okay? So that what happens is we balance that field. We balance that field, it makes the body very powerful. Okay? So now what happens when I do this? Take that off. Okay? Now relax. Don't go anywhere. How many of you know what Bostik PVC pipe weld is? Cool stuff, huh? Serious glue. Serious glue, right. Okay. Now we're going to hook her female and her male energy up. First of all, we're going to see how she does without any help. Get the stuff out of here. I don't want this shooting up in my face. Could ruin your whole day. Yeah, it's going now. Okay, put that on. Now, start breathing that stuff. Now make a fist. You know, it's coming right out. Don't get it up in your nose to breathe it. Now, let's see where your strength is now. Oh, you're really shot now. Okay, now we relax. Put this thing on. Okay. Glue back up. Arm back out. Now resist. Let's see what you can do now. Let's see how you do with that now. Let's see how you do with that. A little different, huh? Just a little bit. Okay, take it off now. That's got one. So now you begin to see how these things work. Okay, go ahead and sit down. Stanford University, Dr. Glenn Rain, leading research medical scientist, says that we have made an observation in the human DNA with a thing we call non-Hertzsonian waves, which have a profound effect on the human DNA reproduction cycle, meaning that medical research at Stanford and other schools in the world now has discovered the prevalence and the necessity of balancing scalar waves, and the fact they exist, and the fact that they're non-Hertzsonian, meaning they are not electromagnetic waves. Okay? Now, at this point, got a little, plenty of time yet. Does anybody have any questions on some of the things we're covering so far? Forever, as long as you're on this planet.
I mean, someday it'll be nice to throw this stuff out in the ocean or the river, but for a while we're going to need it, for quite a while, because we know how to keep our immune systems built up, okay? When you buy one of these things, you don't just get any one. We have to go and look at your hydrogen atom and find out what the weakest link, what the color frequency is that's weak. So we muscle test you, each individual, and find out where the color, the weak color is. Then you wear it, and wear it every day. You can wear it at night if you want, but daytime is good. Your body reproduces cells at the rate of 50 million per second, and the first entire cellular group that's reproduced takes 90 days, red blood cells, okay? The last cellular group is your bones to be reproduced. When you're
Okay, I think we're... we'll see if this is going to turn over or not. Maybe a little bit more. This is a good tape. I remember doing this one. It was a seminar. It was a private seminar thing that I did. And so now we're just waiting to see if it's going to flip over. So I don't remember some of these tapes. This is done on Monday of May of 99. It's only 10 years old. That's pretty good. Some of these things are 20, 30 years old that we've listened to. This is a more current one. So we're now waiting for it to either reverse itself or come to a complete end. So now we'll know in a minute because it stopped squeaking. It was getting a little crazy there at the end because these tapes haven't been running a while, but they are good ones. I enjoy doing them. Now let's see if it's going to happen on the other side here. It may or may not have some more information on this. If not, then we'll get into something else next week because we're just about out of time anyway. And I don't see anything on the other side of this. And I was also looking for tape one. It was tape two. But I really don't see tape two either. Although I got some other nice juicy things for next week. We've always got new juice. By the way, be sure and check the Paradigm website out. www.paradigm.com because we have the new
in your body.
Oh, I guess here we go.
With
we get a little bit more.
The influence of positive scalar wave technology. The missing color in the hydrogen is now healed and your body genetically begins to change. Okay? People with i.e. non-curable diseases suddenly notice the diseases are going away. Okay? So we have to test each color. Usually what happens is with someone after about 6 months we'll end up changing the color of the stone because that link on the chain is now strong and we have to go to the next weakest link. So if you're like me, I went through 5 different color changes before I ended up with a stone that seems to be pretty consistent with me most of the time now. Now we make the receptors out of 3 different materials, depending on what you want to spend. You know, what I call the economy model. We use cadmium and zinc. The biggest deficiency in the human body that we've found is zinc, okay, along with calcium. How would we discover that? We used to have, in the early days of research, in the 1970s and late early 80s, we had people actually wear bars of zinc. And we would weigh that zinc, and they'd wear it for a month, and we'd weigh it again and see how much their body would assimilate. And that began to teach us how that worked. From that, we determined how to make the first receptors. Now, cadmium, which is another metal we use and the least expensive ones, absorbs radiation out of the body, and everybody's got plenty of it, believe me. Cesium-90, cesium-60, no, strontium-90, cesium-60, there's a whole list of what we call isotopes that are present in human bodies these days. So the normal receptor, you just maybe wash it off, because you know if you ever get exposed to radiation, they tell you to get the clean water supply and take a shower. So you rinse the thing off maybe every month or two. The second level of receptor that we make is advantageous in the fact that you don't have to change the receptor when you change the stone. You just change out the stone in it. We can change it for you. That's made out of sterling silver, a heavy, a very pure form of sterling silver. It, however, becomes radioactive in a period of usually within a week. And so when you first put it on and start wearing it, you might find after a week you're not getting the same results that you did when you first put it on. So you take it off, and you rinse it off with water, and you put it back on,
and then you'll see that it starts to work again because the radiation is gone. And then we make an 18-karat gold one, which also has to be washed off, and then we make occasionally one out of solid platinum, which also has to be washed off. The higher frequency the metal, the more profound the effect of it. I've only sold a few platinum ones, and I don't recommend selling them to anybody. The people that wanted them were fanatics, and platinum made them even more fanatical. I can't really say it had a good result where it being worn. People go crazy wearing those things. I've had skeptics come up to me, and typically, and they don't believe in it. This is something that doesn't have a tube or in it, it doesn't have a magnet on it. That can't work. So what I do is I'll put one on. I know it's bad for them. Let them wear it for a couple hours, and when they start flashing because they get an antigen rush, they'll bring it back. Usually I put a diamond on them because the diamond will cause you. It's just like eating niacin. When you put one on, you're not ready for it. It causes a histamine release in your body, and you swear you've taken niacin. And when you haven't, it can be a little scary. So we got ways of proving them to skeptics if they want to go for a little bit of a ride. So to any other questions? I just wanted to... Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, the question is yes, if the effects stop when you take the pyramid off, and the answer is yes, but in lesser and lesser amounts. Because remember we did the rubbing here, right? You got the feeling going. If you walked around doing this all day long and started doing this to your entire body, you'd be surprised after a few weeks of this how much better you'd feel. But also you'd feel a lot of drain, you'd be a little bit more drained because you're recirculating your own energy. So if you grab one of these antennas and start using some of the outside energy coming off the Earth's field, it will begin to build up a higher frequency. So if you've been wearing a receptor for 2 or 3 weeks and then take it off, it's a gradual going down, or a pyramid. But a lot of people, including me, I was not very sensitive. The way I became sensitive to this was the urine thing in the toilet with the cigarettes. I am now, but in the days this thing came out, I was not what you call a sensitive person. You know, after behaving the way I did. In those days, I barely knew what a vitamin was, you know. So, I mean, I had to go through. I was a rocket scientist, not a nutritionist, you know. And so I could build you a hell of a rocket motor, but I couldn't tell you much about nutrition, but working in clinics and...
Okay, we'll continue on next week. And as I started to say, go to our www.paradigm.com website and check out the new... professional series. There's five of them. There's one up right now in the receptors. These are a combination of scalar wave and quantum entangling product. Brand new for 2010. Also, check out the raysoftruth.tv website. As soon as you click on the sales page, comes up, the actual website comes into view. It's kind of a crummy looking web sales page. A sales ad, we're working on it. But anyway, we'll talk to you next Thursday night. Meanwhile, everything is cool.